It's very exciting. I think this is the fourth year of this particular project. So when we approached Dublin Theatre Festival initially, we went to them with four projects and said, this is our plan, and can we come and do this in your festival, please? And they didn't say no, which was fantastic. So I suppose this is the final year of that cycle of work. So it's very exciting, it's very exhilarating, and it's quite emotional, actually.
I can imagine it's been quite a journey. The previous work, starting with World's End Lane, moving on to Laundry, moving on to The Boys of Foley Street, and they've all been, you know, critically acclaimed. They're very popular, like it's selling out very quickly. So how does that feel when you're culminating now at the fourth one, Vardo, that there's such popularity and hype surrounding your work?
I think when we went to make Laundry, we all feared second album syndrome. In terms of, because we knew at the start, as I said, we had these four pieces of work. We knew the area had been regenerated four times in 100 years, and we wanted to make a response to each of those regenerations. And knowing that in advance is very exciting, but also terrifying, because you kind of could do part one and realise, oh, that people liked that, that was great, and we've got three more to go. So we approached Laundry with a terror of, like, what if it was just a fluke and we got it wrong, or I don't know. But of course, then as you move through the cycle, this one felt the most pressurised, because you kind of go, well, are we answering questions? Have we brought them 100 years on to say, and this is this? Or are we leaving them with more questions than answers? Or the resistance not to tie it all up in a bow and go, ta-da, there's 100 years. So yeah, a lot of pressure in that way.
And it's been quite a slow process. Like, you've really taken your time over it. Last year you took a break and you put the 13 series in as part of the Dublin Fringe Festival. Mm-hmm. So do you think it was good to have that little, I suppose, dip away from the whole four part for the year?
Well, we know we did work in progress last year for Dublin Theatre Festival as well, here in this site. So we were still working on it, so we never stopped. But we knew that this particular piece of work was going to be ethically demanding, and we're working in the present tense with present day, so we wanted to make sure that we got it right and that we were doing it justice in some way. So it wasn't that we took a break away from it, we just took our time to make the final part over 2 years.
And I suppose I've seen this, and I'm not going to give too much away to the listeners, but I suppose the idea of performer and audience ethics does come up quite a lot in this one, maybe more so than the other three. And the process has obviously become very popular, and people now are expecting what you're going to do. So was that harder to cater for? The people kind of had an idea what you might have been trying to attempt because they've seen the previous three. So was there an element of you trying to surprise the audience this time, or just to go with what you had originally planned?
I think you do have to go back to the work and say, this is the piece of work and this is what we're trying to do, and not worry too much. But yes, of course, they're all considerations, and our audiences have become more demanding of us as much as we are of our own work. So yeah, there's an element to that, I suppose, but I think we just tried to resist that as much as we could and to try and present the piece as truthfully as we could in lots of ways. What we did do was work with a lot of very new actors for this one, so that at least when people were met, or when those engagements happened, there was no expectation of the person you were meeting, even though there might be an expectation of the frame in which it was operating, but there was no expectation of the actor, if you know what I mean.
I do, because I suppose, and a lot of the reviews that I've read of the work that's been reviewed so far is the same, like everyone is suspicious and paranoid of everybody on the street, and that's the kind of idea you're trying to bring to the work as well, I suppose, that you're not looking to see familiar faces, that anyone that approaches you could be a member of the general public or could be part of the work, and that's kind of the beauty of it. And do you think the popularity of your work is because people are sick of sitting on their bums in the Abbey Theatre for, you know, 2.5 hours every week? Do you think that people are looking for something a little bit more in theatre now? They want to have a little bit more of that immersive experience.
I think what sets it apart is the city is our backdrop. It's our landscape. It's where we are. If we stood on the street now and said there's a piece of work going on, we would of course read into stories as we all can every time that we look. And I suppose it's the act of deeper looking that I'm interested in, and I'm interested in those spaces colliding with the real world, so that everything becomes part of that moment. Particularly for this one, because it's present tense. Yeah. So if you're out there at 6:45 of an evening of a Tuesday, you really are standing on James Joyce Street at, you know, 6:45 on a Tuesday. So everything that's existing inside that world is happening for real around it. And I think that's the most important part of it, is that it is existing in real time. So the fact that it is existing in real time, colliding with real life, makes it quite important. We want to make the show invisible, actually. so that anyone watching it from a distance or from the streets or from the other parts of the world would not be aware at all there's a show going on. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing that draws attention to itself. And in a way, that's trickier because our audiences have come to expect quite exciting, thrilling, adrenaline-fueled things happen in the shows. However, we really set ourselves a challenge this time around that certainly in public spaces, everything should look absolutely normal because that's the way it's operating.
And I think it's worked like that because even I had one or two experiences while attending the show myself where members of the general public attempted to intervene in action that was going on within the play.
So were they?
Yes, yeah, so it's obviously quite well hidden, which is great, that's exactly what you're trying to do. And your focus on the city and Monto specifically, how has the area and people in the area, how have they responded to you and your work? Are they aware of it? I'm sure they are.
Yeah, no, they absolutely are aware of it. We've worked with this local community over the last 4 years in lots of different ways, whether through organisations or individuals or places or, with Boys of Folly Street, with the Liberty House residents. So we've worked very, very closely with the neighbourhood. I think it'll be very emotional and really sad to leave it all. Some of our cast members are local, so I suppose it's a mix of always mixing that up.
Yeah. And you've been nominated for Best Director for your work on Angel Meadow in Manchester. So bringing your process to a different city, how did that work for you? Obviously well, because you've been nominated, but how did that, was that for you as a director?
Again, it's a huge honour. It's a huge privilege. And we worked with the same kind of team. We just brought our team from Dublin to Manchester, the same creative team, some of the same actors, and we worked with them there to reimagine a story in Ancoats. But again, working with an extraordinary organisation in Manchester who are brand new, who really helped in terms of fueling support and kind of adding to our creative team in loads of ways. Great.
Very good. And in terms of what's coming next for A New Productions, any plans on the horizon, or are you not at liberty to say?
We have very exciting plans on the horizon. I don't know if I could say. We've planned for the next 2 years. And, everyone's often going to me, gosh, what are you going to do now? This is done. This is not our life's work. This is one particular cycle of work and one that we've placed a huge amount of importance on. But it's the tip of the iceberg in terms of what we want to achieve. So we have massive projects coming up. We have one project happening in Limerick very shortly for Limerick City of Culture, which is a co-production between ourselves and the performance corporation called Beautiful Dreamers, which happens in November and December. And then early next year, we are doing a massive 3-month project, which I don't know that I can talk about, which is looking at World War One.
Brilliant. So loads to look forward to from you guys. And I'm sure we're all going to be anxiously waiting to see what you come up with.
Thanks very much.
No problem. And I'm here talking to Led, producer for A New Productions, and she's going to tell me a little bit about the Now Then Now conference taking place in the lab on the 7th and the 8th of October.
The symposium will take place on the 7th and 8th of October. The work is called Now Then Now. It initially was designed as a symposium, as a way to bring together both our audiences and collaborators over the last number of years in the four parts of the Monto cycle, together to celebrate and discuss and to take time to consider the four parts that have led up to this culmination, I suppose. And essentially the symposium for us, we didn't want it to feel like a didactic experience whereby panels of experts imparted their knowledge onto perhaps an audience of people who, by being the audience for the shows and by being the makers of the work, are perhaps the experts in the room. So we decided to shift the tables in terms of what we constitute to be the expert, and then to rethink how a symposium might be framed. We're happy to say that the symposium will be an experiential symposium that will look at the Now Then Now aperture of the work by looking through the last four parts of the Monto cycle in a way that allows audiences of the symposium to engage with individual elements and contexts of the work, and for them to become the expert in the scenario.
So just like, and you have kind of changed the conventions of what it means to attend the theatre, you're kind of changing the conventions of what it means to kind of sit at an event like this and to participate. So really, you're going to take a lot of input from the audience as opposed to getting a panel of experts, which is very interesting. And it kind of ties in with the themes of the performances. And it's been very successful. Like, I mean, it initially sold out and you had to expand the seating, didn't you?
Yeah, we've released extra tickets for the symposium and upped the capacity. So we're at max now, and yeah, we're completely sold out. Yeah, very good.
So if anyone hasn't booked now, unfortunately they've missed it, but I'm sure there'll be events further on down the line where they can participate.
There will, and I think Create, who are supporting the symposium, are running a waiting list for people on the symposium, should other people hand back tickets or anything between now and then. And yeah, people are welcome to kind of stay tuned into the website and see what happens.
Perfect. So it's really worth our while to put our names on that list, and hopefully we can get a chance to go see it.